Well, that's a blessing. I spoke to a number of our preacher boys out of our church this morning, and the last one that I made contact with was my son, Colt Benjamin Foster, pastor there in Russellville, Arkansas. And I said, what an honor it is to do what we do this day. It's kind of difficult for you to understand, unless you have a preacher in the family, it's kind of difficult. But it's a great honor to be able to stand in a pulpit anytime and teach and preach God's Word. That's an honor anytime. But this day, it's a little bit different, you know. It's just a little bit different. And we're honored. What a joy it is. You know, the other week we watched the show, The Rookie. And finally got turned around and got his spirit right. And he says, told one of the ball players, he said, hey, you know what we get to do today? You got that grin, you know, we get to play baseball. And I feel like that, like a preacher. You know what I get to do today? I get to preach God's word. Like we get to preach, that's what we get to do. Now this last Wednesday afternoon, before the evening service, well before the early afternoon, through the benefit of one of our treasured members supplying a gift card, and they supplied a gift card to us to the Honey Ham Store. You know where that's at down the road here on 544? Man, I like those hams. They're good. And we went down there, of course, to purchase a honey ham for our Easter Sunday dinner today. And I saw when I was standing in line, Brother Jerry, I saw us standing in line. What's that over there? He had those smoked, glazed turkey breast. Mmm. I saw they had that, and so tender and so good. And I thought, well, what's better than having a delicious spiral ham for lunch, for Sunday lunch? And I said, well, adding to the dish a smoked, glazed turkey breast. That would be even better. So I was thinking, you know, as a man, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. But I no sooner walked out to our pickup truck, you know, Heaven's Chariot, where my wife was waiting, and I told her the good news that I'd purchased not only a good honey ham, and they're nice, they're really nice, but I had also purchased a smoked, glazed, sweet turkey breast to go along with it. And I was proud of myself, John. I was proud. Well, that was then. I stepped into my pickup truck and I offered to my lovely wife my excellent and good news. And she said, you know, Courtney's making a turkey for dinner. Just like that. You know, Courtney's, my daughter, is making one of those that just sang. You know, Courtney's making a turkey for dinner. Well, I'm thinking to myself, men, Brother Tom, what's better than one turkey breast? Two turkey breasts. I mean, that's the way men think, right? What's better than one? Two. What's better than one piece of chicken? Two pieces of chicken. What's better than two? Three. Or for Miss Irma, three donuts is better than two. That's an inside joke. But I settled on the fact that by her tone, I knew being interpreted means we don't want to have two turkey breasts, you know. So I settled to the fact that, hey, you know, men can pivot too. And all that means is, being interpreted, we get to have our smoked, glazed turkey breast early. Early. So that Wednesday afternoon, I asked my wife if she had bought, we had talked about it earlier that morning, said, did you bring the spaghetti that we had left over, you know, that we could have for supper for in the church house before our Wednesday evening service? And she says, no, I forgot it. Let me help you understand what that means. I was hoping you'd take me out somewhere to eat. But that evening wore on, and I thought I would offer my eloquent suggestion. Why don't you warm up some of that smoke glazed turkey breast? You know? And so she asked, well, do you want it room temperature or do you want it warmed up? And I said, I'm a man. Men like their meat hot. Come on now. Don't bet. It's not time to pray. Come on. Men like their meat hot. Okay. I'm going somewhere with this. You just hold on. Finally, she came walking into the office and she had a dish of that smoked glazed turkey breast. Had it all warmed up, and instantly the aroma filled the room. And we had a man's delight. What is that? Meat. I feel sorry for you vegetarians. Even the Lord says, I have meat that you know not of. What's for supper? Meat. Well, I dove into that delicious meat and started tenderly. And it didn't take much pressure, just tenderly, just pulling that sweet glazed turkey breast apart with my fingers, not a fork, not a knife, my fingers. And then licking my fingers. And then every once in a while you'd have some of that crystal glaze stuff that would fall off the edge of the meat and just fall back down in your plate. What do? You want to get that up and eat that. It's like candy. And it was good, and we were enjoying that. Well, I must have been talking while I was eating. I know you're not supposed to, but I must have been talking while I was eating. But it was a different language, and men do occasionally have a different language all to themselves. Men enjoy a language all to themselves. Brother Jerry, you'll like this. So after a little bit of enjoying that sweet turkey breast, my wife started responding to my language. Started speaking my language, my special language. And she shared three words of this newfound glorified language for her. And she said, Brother Chase, I looked up at her and she said it again. Then the third time, Well, she cut her eyes, that blue eyes, she cut her old blue eyes at me as if she was picking on me in some way, but I didn't really take it that way. I'm thinking to myself, Brother Russ, man, oh man, finally I have a woman who speaks my language. It was so good. Well, this fine day, one of the best days of the year, this special, special day, because the Lord says it's a special day, so this has to be a special, special day. On this special day, the people who are gathered here and the people who are gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world have the same language. Have the same language. I walked onto the streets of Finland one day and I heard the same language as what we enjoy here today. It's the love language of the Lord our God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John said this in 1 John 4, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Let me prove, if I could, or at least attempt to prove, this language to you. And I would bet, if I were a betting man, because I'm not, but I would bet that you could finish most, if not all, of these Christian phrases, and I'm talking about the Christian language, the language of God's people. With God, nothing shall be impossible. See that? See? That's our language. That's our language. Where sin abounds, grace there much more abounds. Thy sins are forgiven thee. See that? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thy will be done. Father, forgive them, for they know not what... You see? You do know this language. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You're standing on holy ground. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's from Moses, right? Charleston Heston, really, but we'll just say Moses. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Jesus is coming again. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Preach the word. Christ is all I need. On this rock I will build my church. Be instant in season and out of season. Fight the good fight of faith. Oh, victory in Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is love. Jesus died for you. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus saves. He's not here, for he is risen. See there? We do, actually, and Christians everywhere in the world, maybe a different language, but Christians everywhere in the world, we speak this language. This is common to us. Anywhere you go, no matter where you are on the planet, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a Christian according to this book, this is your language. This is my language. This is a special, special day. And on this special day, we have a special language of the saints of God. And I pray if you're not one of the saints of God, that today would be your spiritual birthday. And it could be, it should be. I tell you, it should be your birthday. If you're not a child of God, it should be your birthday. What better day to become a Christian than on this day? Amen. Our Lord said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So how can we know when all of this ends that we'll be with the Lord in heaven and not with the devil in hell? That's a pretty good question, don't you imagine? That's a very good question. Well, I'm really not interested too much of what other people might have as far as opinions about the matter. But I am seriously interested in the truth. And we know truth comes from the Holy Bible. It comes from the Word of God. So consider with me this special, special day. And by the way, I'm just going to today felt led of the Lord to just let the Bible do most of the talking. Let the Bible do most of the answering of our questions. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and the letter to the Romans. That's how you find it. I had a hard time remembering all the books of the Bible until I memorized them according to song. How about that? And if you don't like that one, I got one, 10 little Indians. We can do that. One little Matthew, just you say that you sing the 10 little Indians, but you change the words to do the Bible. Bible books. It's a help. So consider with me, if you would, as we look here to one chapter with a little bit of help from two chapters over. I'll get to that in a minute. All right? Consider with me, Houston, you've seen all the stuff about the NASA going up again. Praise God. I love that stuff. And I love seeing that picture, you know, the video out of the airplane. Man, I've never seen anything like that. That was fantastic. But Houston, we have a problem. Consider with me the problem of humanity. Oh, we have a problem. What is the problem? According to God's word. Look at verse 9 of chapter 3. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asps, snakes, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. You getting the point? And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And we are. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, friends, we're not talking about a virus. We're not even talking about corona. Corona. Sounds like a morning cereal. Corona. We're not talking about a virus. We're not talking about some hangnail that we get on Thursday afternoon. We're talking about a big, 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 big problem with sin and the curse that comes along with that. And it's a big problem. Now, in the garden, in that beginning of man's story, and I would say beginning of sorrow, we have three main characters, and I'm not leaving the lady out, but I will for this occasion. The main characters, of course, are number one, man, the man. This man had a name. His name was what? Adam. Adam. And Adam and what he did in violation to God's word is the source of our problem. It's the source of our problem. And in him, he representing us, being the first man, all humanity is represented by him. And when Adam fell into temptation and he ate of the forbidden fruit, all human beings, according to God's word, fail with him in sin. That's the problem, because the wages of sin is death. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. So man, that's the one of the parties. The other is the menace. That's Satan. That's the devil. And he was so subtle, slip in and do his damning work, questioning the word of truth, the word of God. That's all he had to do. Question the word of God. And then number three, of course, is the master. We're talking about God, the creator God. That's the three major parties in that opening story, but tells us so much about mankind and our problem. That's a big problem. It's a big problem. Notice number two in verse 21, the plan. The master, not man, but the master has a plan. Aren't you glad he's God? The master has a plan and he says so. Look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Now get this. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, the law, the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, and the prophets, they all testified of his plan. They all told us about the pending plan, how it was going to be worked out. Now that law would include, of course, the works of Moses beginning in chapter 3 of Genesis, and that's for Brother Colt's sake who will be watching this message. Verse 14 and 15, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, dust, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now listen, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, that one who would become born of a woman. Who's that? That's our Lord. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You're going to take your best shot, but all you're going to get is a heel. He's going to take his shot, and he's going to get your head. That's the plan. That's the plan. Well, what about the prophets and the prophecies, number three, the prophecies? The Bible says, witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, in all of the big section of your Bible, in the first section, the major section, that's called the Old Testament books. That covers, by the way, a long period of time. And there are over 300 prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. Where he's going to be born, what's he going to be like, what's he going to do, what's he going to secure. He's revealing the plan. And they reveal that plan through all these different prophecies, over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. 300, long before it ever took place in the life lived out in Israel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these prophecies. Let me share with you just a wonderful, wonderful passage from the Old Testament. One we call the major prophets from Isaiah. I just, if I listed all 300 and gave you that, number one, you wouldn't want to stay here that long. But number two, if I left out this chapter, you would bend me over and give me a spanking. I mean, you just would. If you just knew the book like I know the book, I just could not leave this one out. And I tried my best, Brother Deacon. I tried my best. Let me see what I can cut out. And I cut out this and I felt guilty. I said, you can't cut this out. You can't cut this one. No, you can't cut this one. Let me show you what I mean. Isaiah 53. We'll begin in verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. People think, oh, he was just the most beautiful. No, he's the most beautiful internally, but not physically. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. The beatings that he took, we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's that problem. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity, our sins, of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. In that trial, they were all hammering him, but he didn't say anything of rejection. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off, means he was killed, out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich. That's what we just sing about in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord. You see all capital letters? It pleased the Father to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. This is my beloved son, right? By his knowledge shall all righteous servant just by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities, in other words, for sin. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto what? Death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors, even on the cross with him. Made intercession for the transgressors. Think with me about number four, the person. Now the person came, of course, made of a woman, born of a woman, in the fullness of time, the Bible says, in verse 21 and 22 of our text. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets. Now get this, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of who? What does it say? By faith of Jesus Christ. Now over in the book of Matthew, in the first chapter, in verse 21, we read, and she shall, talk about Mary, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. For all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Sometimes you go back and you read the Gospel of John chapter 1, you'll see that indeed that's exactly what happened. The Word became flesh and walked among us, and we beheld His glory. In Luke chapter 2, famous chapter of our Christmas story, in verse 10 and 11, angels said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Jesus loves all the children of the world, right? Everybody, red, yellow, black, white, all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the Lord. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." Where's that? Bethlehem. That was the fulfillment, by the way, of one of those prophecies. Matter of fact, several speak about that. Of course, in Luke, you got the continuation, of course, in Acts. And he was so precise. Medical doctors are so precise. And he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Listen, if you are ever saved, if you're on your way to heaven or ever get to a place where you're on your way to heaven, it's going to be because of one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to be because your mama, your daddy, or your uncle who happens to be a preacher in East Texas. It's going to be because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm all for honoring men and honoring good women. I have no problem with that. I love it. I love good men. I love good women. To thank God for each and every one of them. But there's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one. And He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my King. And one day soon, maybe this evening, He'll come back and get me and take me home. It's not going to be a country road. It's going to be a glorified road. Take me home, country road. You heard that before. He was all right. Now notice number 5, the provision or payment for the sins of man. I told you we had a problem. Our problem is sin, and we stand guilty before God. Every single one of us, Jew or Gentile, all guilty. But notice in the text, the provision and the payment for the sins of man. And by the way, when you read back through all the Old Testament and all of those sacrifices that were given, all of that was to foreshadow, to point to the one who would come and permanently pour out His life's blood on the cross of Calvary and die for our sins. It was all a picture of what was to come. And that picture was picturing and pointing to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the payment that would be made. Look at verse 21 in our text. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." That's why I'm hoping that you'll be one of those. "For there's no difference. For all have sinned." We're all in trouble. "Come short of the glory of God." Miss that mark. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption," the payment, "through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." We sing nothing but the blood. "To declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Have you believed in Jesus? Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus? Well, Mr. Peter, you know him? He's kind of the loudmouth fisherman that God used in a great and mighty way. I said he's the loudmouth fisherman that God used in a great and mighty way. He really was. So tough, old bird. This is what he said. This is how he said in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 21. "For as much as ye know," oh, there's some things you better know as a Christian, "ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things." You were not purchased. You were not redeemed. You're not made right with God by corruptible things, as, in other words, silver and gold. "From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers," the things that were hand-me-downs that they said were so important, but were not that important. "But you are redeemed," what? "With the precious blood of Christ." The precious blood of Christ. You say, "Preacher, do you plead the blood of Christ?" I better. "As a lamb without blemish and without spot," no sin, "who verily was foreordained," see that, long before it happened, "foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for" who? "For you." Are you a you? You're a you. "Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, the atonement was made by His death and by His blood, and man's penalty had been paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid my debt in full. There's a song that says something like that. He paid a debt that He did not owe. I owe a debt that I could not pay. Christ Jesus paid a debt. And He paid that debt for you. And He paid it for me. And it'll be applied to you if you'll receive Him as that gift of eternal life, forgiveness of your sins. Notice that I'm almost out of time, which means nothing to me, but maybe it's up to you. I want you to see the promise or the guarantee of the resurrection of the dead. A lot, we think, when I die, they put me in a casket and they take you out there and say some nice words. Preacher comes by and he prays with people and, he goes out there to the grave and here's the tractor over yonder and here's the dirt over yonder and here's some flowers over yonder. And people get out there and they gather around, maybe sing a little song, quote a little scripture, say a little scripture. And they put the body in the grave and you think, it's over. Oh, beloved, it ain't over. As a matter of fact, it's only just beginning. There's much more to this life than this life. Much, 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 much. Did I say much? Much, much more. Now, to get to that, we have to skip over two chapters, from chapter 3 to chapter 5. Can you do that? From chapter 3 to chapter 5. Get that, Layla? From chapter 3 to chapter 5. This is good. I said, this is good. Matter of fact, it's better than that smoked, glazed, sweet turkey breast. Let's read verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. You put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross? Dying for your sin? Yeah. Being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I saw a sign on the back of a pickup truck. That's what I usually pay attention to. I don't pay attention to the little bitty golf cart looking things driving down the road. Like a clown car. This is a pickup truck, a full man's pickup truck. And on the back, it said this. No, N-O, Jesus, no peace. In other words, you don't have Jesus, you have no peace. But then it said just below that, no, K-N-O-W, Jesus. K-N-O-W, no peace. Now, I thought about this verse right here. And I said, I got to throw that in. It must be of God. God was telling me to throw it in. Therefore, being justified by faith, listen, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, that's how you have peace with the Creator God. That's the only way you're going to have peace with the Creator God. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? By Christ. Also, we have access by faith, I get this, into this grace wherein we stand. Now listen, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Jump down to verse 8. But God commendeth His love. There's that love language towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can put your name right there. Darling, put your name right there. Christ died for you. Put your name. Much more then, being now justified by His what? By His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, now listen, we shall be saved by His life. Jesus is not dead. He died. And 3 days after He died, He rose to life and come up out of that grave. He came up out of that grave. I said He come up out of that grave. And that's what we're celebrating on this special, special day. Unto life. Of course, this happened through the supernatural resurrection. Back in 1 Peter again, chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according, now get this, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again begotten is to be born. Again, unto a lively hope, by what? By what, Peter? Tell us what it is. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. By his resurrection. To an inheritance. Do you have an inheritance? I pray you do. Jesus has paid for it if you're one of his. To an inheritance. Now get this. Incorruptible. IRS can't take it from you. The Democratic Party can't take it from you. Undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Do you have a ticket? I've got mine already reserved. It's already paid for. Paid for in full by Jesus Christ. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now that's a yup right there. Matthew 28:5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. For he is risen, as he said. He said he would rise again, and he did. And then they said, come on, come look at the place. Come on, I'll show you. Come on over here, I'll show you. Sweetheart, come on over here. Look at this. Look at this. Come see the place where the Lord lay, where he was. He is not anymore, but he was there. Now he's not there no more. He already left out. Now, when I was a boy growing up, my dear mother, I learned this from my daddy, stories from my dad. And by the way, you can't always believe stories about your mama from your daddy. You need to know that. Every once in a while, you know, they kind of, like me a little bit, inflate it just a little bit for fun. Just a little bit, though, just a little bit. But I learned when my mother was a young married lady, when they got married, she could only cook just two meals. Now, I'm glad my wife can cook more than two meals. She can at least get three of them out. But my mother could only cook two meals. One was she could make spaghetti. And the other one is she could make a cake. And so when they got married, brother, if you get this now, see how fortunate you are? When they got married, one night, my daddy had spaghetti. And they'd have spaghetti dinner. Pretty good. Next night, cake. Now, he liked cake, but, you know. So the third night, what are they having it? Spaghetti. Fourth night, what do they have? What? Cake. So you get the idea, so forth and so on. Well, after us four kids came along, Mike, Jamie, Angel, and Steve, my mother would still be making those cakes. She'd finish up everything. She'd do all this hard work, had, you know, dust it looked like all over, but it was what, not dust, it was flour. And when she would finish all the chores, working so hard, working her fingers to the bone, and what is she going to get? Bony fingers. She did all that hard work. And then finally, the oven would close. Now that didn't mean anything to you, but it meant everything to us kids. It was a sign from God. It was a sound from God for us kids. And being interpreted what that meant for us kids, the four of us, and I was the baby, is the game is on. The game is on. Now it really didn't matter where you were in our little ranch house that I was raised in, because most of the sheetrock wasn't even hung yet. We just had studs, you know. You just step over the wire and you could be from the bathroom to the kitchen, you know, just like that. So it didn't really matter where you were in the house when you'd hear the stove. And it always had a, you know, you know what I mean? It always had a squeak to it. Does your oven have a squeak to it? You close the door. It's closing. Man, we're always listening for that. Well, as soon as that door would shut on that oven, after all that hard work getting ready for making the cake, you know, putting it in the oven, it didn't matter where we four kids were in the house, because we'd always listen to it. And somebody, the first one out of the chute, man, they'd fire off, I want the liquor! I want the liquor! And as soon as that word goes up, it's like, you know, whatever his name was, you know, the English are coming, the British are coming. Paul Revere. They British are coming to me. They decided, I want the liquor. As soon as that went up, man, I guarantee you, in the minute, in just a half of a minute, in the twinkling of an eye, would come another voice from another youngin', as we called them back home. Not children. We didn't call children. We called them youngins. And we'd even ask, how many head of youngins do you have? Was that too country? How many head of youngins? He's like, one, two, three. It's a head of youngin. The second youngin would cry out, I get the other liquor! And then the third would yell out because there's only two liquors. There's only two liquors. The third would call out, I get the bowl! I get the bowl! And there's only one more thing. And that's usually left for the one who's the slowest on the draw. And that was me. More often than not, that was me. Unfortunately, it was me. And I would say, just because it's the only thing left and I didn't want Mama to get it, I get the spoon! I get the spoon! Now, I need to interpret for you good people, because you city people don't have any idea what I'm talking about, what is a liquor. I told this story before, years ago, and people are thinking, our preacher is a drunk. I promise you, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not a drunk, never been a drunk, never even played one on television. I'm talking about the beaters. You know, women didn't used to have all these fancy gadgets in their kitchen. They had a mixer, a hand mixer, and you would put these sticks up in these holes in a mixer. And then you turn it on, and the more you move that dial, the faster the mixers, the beaters would go, and they go, and spin all of that good sweetness all up. You with me? That's what Mama would do. And so when she was finished with that, she would set that up like that, and she'd get the bowl, and she'd get her spatula, you know, that special one that she had. It was kind of squishy. And she'd ream out all that sweet goodness from the bowl and get all she could into that cake pan. You with me? She'd get all that. Then she'd set that over here. Now, that little thing, that's the spoon. We called that the spoon. It's like a spatula, but we called it a spoon. We didn't have much difference. We were raised small town. And so she'd do all of that. Only then she'd take that cake in the cake pan. I could tell you exactly if it's hers today if I saw it. We knew it awful well. And she'd take that cake out, that pan, and she'd put that in the oven. And close that door. And as soon as that, man, the game is on now. The game is on. I get the liquor! I get the other liquor! I get the bowl! I get the spoon! I get the spoon! Now, what I want you to see here, now I'm trying to make it simple. A preacher, friends, they tell you, you need to make it simple. Everybody understand. Okay. Mama did, Jerry. Mama did all the hard work. And we kids, we got to enjoy the sweetness. Now, I went through all that outline stuff. Let me just summarize it for you. All right? Let me just break it down, make it as simple as possible can. In salvation of humanity, God has done all the hard work. He's done all the hard work. He laid it all out. He had his prophets come and prophesy, and a lot of people harassed them and killed them and did all kinds of things. But he had a plan. And his plan was wrapped all up in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. He was foretold, prophesied. Finally, he came. And then he offered his blood and death for the payment of that sin. Then they hung him on the cross. He died, they buried him, 3 days he rose from the dead. Not only that, but in due time, he was raised up into heaven. The resurrection, which guarantees our resurrection. Now you tell me, smarty pants, who did all the big work? Who did all the heavy work? Us? No, not really, huh? No? Jesus did the heavy lifting. Jesus paid it all. All to Him. I-O. Jesus did all the hard work, and we get all the sweetness because of His hard work. Does that make sense? Now, I look at that story, and it's the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest story ever told. I look at that story, and as a man, Brother Jerry, as a man, Brother Mark, as a man, I have just one word to say about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand.